Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Considerations. This is Frederick Henry. We're listening to Considerations today, which is a short program. We're going to be talking about the recent decision of the Federal Communications Commission to open up low-power FM stations. I want to share with you the excitement of this from a perspective of my own journey to the point of being granted a construction permit by the Federal Communications Commission. Years ago, I was involved with a college in South Orange, New Jersey, that had a student radio station. This radio station was powerful enough in the New York metropolitan area, New Jersey, located in Jersey, but it was in the New York metropolitan area. And although it was a college station, this particular station had a 75-mile radius. It was quite amazing because of its placement on the tower. And so, in effect, 75 miles from South Orange, New Jersey, covers all of metropolitan New York, all of metropolitan New Jersey, and has the potential to reach 20 million listeners. I approached the college, which was Uppsala College, and said to the Reverend Doctor, who was the president of the college, "Do you realize the power that is in that radio station?" Now, this particular college in those particular days, which is about 15 years ago, was suffering from what's known as relevancy. This was an infection that entered the Christian church from the outside, and it said, "You can't preach the gospel, you can't preach the faith, you can't be a religious order, you have to be relevant." And this was a pervasive philosophical and theological concept, and it was everywhere. So the good doctor, the Reverend Doctor of the college, said to me, "Well, you don't understand, sir. This, Frederick Henry, you don't understand. This radio station belongs to the students." And I said to the good man, I said, "Well, that's fine. But you understand that this radio station reaches 75-mile radius. That's covering all of metropolitan New York, the five boroughs, all of New Jersey. It has the potential audience of 20 million persons." He said, I know, but we're not interested in that. The college is barely surviving. They're barely keeping their head above water. We've decided to include people of color, people of ethnicity, people of languages other than English automatically into the college enrollment in order to boost the enrollment. They're coming in for free. We're using up our entire endowment to support these students. And you have to understand, Sarah, he said to me, that our average student grade point average is D, which is below 65 on a scale of 1 to 100. I was absolutely flabbergasted by this revelation. And I asked the doctor why this was so. He said, "Well, we have to be relevant. And relevancy means to embrace cultural diversity, racial diversity, ethnicity. And we're a garden salad, not a melting pot, not a soup. And we have to grab onto all of these things." And I said, "Well, sir, I really don't know much about that, but I do know that you have on your campus a building, and in that building is a radio station, and that radio station has a tower away from the college, and that tower reaches 75 miles in just because of the placement of the signal on the tower, which was a freak, but it happened to be the case, and therefore is one of the most valuable assets you have. Please, sir," I said, "please understand that I am in favor of the college, I'm in favor of what you do, but this radio station, in terms, I happen to be a Christian, my good listeners, and I was very interested in saving this radio station for the sake of the college and for the sake of the Christian church." So after many face-to-face conversations and even video, I went to his office, I videographed him, I put him on my video outlet through Cablevision New Jersey, and he was seen in many places, the good doctor. I said to him, "Sir, you have to understand, this is a asset of invaluable. You can't even value this. This is so valuable that you must. He said, but you don't understand, this is a student's radio station. I said, well, okay, sir. I said, let me go through this with you in a simplistic sense. Now, please, my dear listeners, understand that I was not disrespectful. I did not act in an arrogant way to the president of the college, but I, in humility, tried to direct him and to interest him in the value of this radio station on his campus. And so I said, sir, let me ask you one question. Who holds your license to this radio station? He says, well, it's a student radio station. I said, that's fine. I understand that. But who owns the license to the station? He said, well, I don't know. To the radio station building, I knocked on the door, it was admitted, and the director of the radio programming, a man named Kenneth, said to me, the college owns the license to the radio station. This radio station belongs to the college. But thank you very much, sir. I went back to the president of the college and said, your own director of communications at the radio station, who is hired full-time by you, sir, is telling me that the license for the college radio station belongs to the college. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. He said, I'm not sure about that. I said, the student radio station, you don't understand. You don't understand. You're putting too much emphasis on this means of communication. I have to worry about my grounds, about my buildings, about my endowments, about my students, and this is really not important. So please cease and desist. Well, I didn't cease and desist, and I pursued this, and I to the radio building again. I entered the building. It was a very fine building on the campus of Uppsala College in South Orange, New Jersey. And in this building was a lot of radio equipment and a lot of communications equipment and tables and chairs and furniture and all the like more. And I said to the station director, I said, sir, who bought this equipment? He says, well, the college bought the equipment. And I said, well, that's good. And I said, well, who bought whose building is this? He said, this is the college's building. He said, oh, that's good. I said, well, sir, who are you? And he says, well, I am an employee of the college. I said, well, how is that so? He says, well, I was hired by the president of the college. He interviewed me. He accepted my application, and he hired me. And I am responsible to him and report also to the board of directors of the college. Well, with this revelation, I went back to the president of the college and said, sir, this radio station seems to belong to the college, and why are you not utilizing it and paying attention to it, because it's a very valuable asset called in the New York area. He said, well, I don't really know anything about this. The student endeavor, it belongs to the students. You have to talk to the chaplain. So I went to the chaplain of the college, of Solid College at the time, and I said, sir, do you know anything about this radio station? He said, well, I used to have a sermon on it once a week, but it became too much of a burden, it was too much of a bother, it was too much difficulty, there were no necessarily tangible results, so I've given up that. And there used to be a sort of a faculty advisor to the radio station, but I don't do that anymore because nobody cares and nobody gives a darn, so I think it's an exercise of futility, and so I have a lazy affair, hands-off approach to the radio station. People say, do you understand that this has a 75-mile radius, FM broadcasting, terrestrial radio station, reaches up to 20 million people, potential listeners? He says, oh, ho-hum, ho-hum, it belongs to the students. So I was so distressed by this, I went back to the question of the college and said, sir, what can I do to convince you of the importance of this radio station? He said, really nothing. We're going down. We're probably going to have to sell out to an investment group, or to the government of South Orange, and all is lost. I said, sure, but this asset can be saved by spinning it off, by incorporating a nonprofit institution that just owns the radio station. There are very many and sundry and easy applications that can save this radio station. He said, well, you have to talk to the certificatory bishop. of the New Jersey Synod Lutheran Church, Evangelical Lutheran Church. So I went to the bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in New Jersey, and I said, "Sir, do you understand the power of this decision?" "Well, you know, it's really the president of the college's issue. It's really not our issue. The college belongs to itself. The radio station belongs to the students. And I know you told me it's 75-mile radius. It reaches 20 million potential listeners for the gospel. But, you know, we really can't be involved with that. It's just another expense." And with that, I was dismissed. The bishop of the synod did write a letter to the president of the college expressing his concern and asking him to cooperate with me and try to do the best we could in saving, as it were, this radio station. So that, in the turmoil of the closing of the college, the loss of the property, the $25 million in debt that the college is facing, this was not on a priority scale with the president of the college. So, at the time, I was a member of the Rotary Club, and I had a man in my Rotary Club who owned a radio station in New Jersey, and he said to me, "You know, Fred," he said, "the radio station at Solid College is going up for sale, and I'm going down there to bid on it." I said, "Well, that's all fine, Danny, but, you know, that really is a church radio station." "No," he says, "it's up for sale. I'm going to try to buy it." So he came back to me the following week and said, "It's a shame, but the workers at the radio station who were employees of the college seem to have some kind of a relationship with the community of people in Brooklyn who were the major contributors, voluntary contributors, who sent up to $300,000 to the radio station in order to support it during the year. And in return for that, they get the exclusive broadcasting rights in the hours, at metropolitan New York hours, of 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. and in the morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., which is, any radio expert would tell you, this is in the millions and millions of dollars, especially in the New York metropolitan radio market. So these individual contributors were of a particular ethnic and religious group, non-Christian, and they proceeded to the separation of the station from the college and putting it into an independent type of radio station. And the college officials didn't care. The synodical officials didn't care. Nobody bothered to take the time to look at this whole scenario. And subsequently, the station was sort of, as it were, spun off. And I could be corrected, and if anybody listens to this, they correct me. I think it was spun off at the cost of $100,000 in notes. In other words, the people didn't put down any money, just made a promise to pay. This radio station in metropolitan New York is still in existence. It just has nothing to do with the college. It's nothing to do with its reason for existence. It's nothing to do with the reason for foundation. And it gives absolutely no credit to the college, to the donors, to the people who for probably 30 years supported the station unstintingly. And now it just does its thing. Now, this distresses me a great deal because of the betrayal of the college, the betrayal of the supporters of the college, and the betrayal by the current management of this radio station from South Orange, New Jersey, that used to belong to Uppsala College. Betrayal of the reason for its existence. This radio station really belongs to Uppsala. And when the Uppsala College entity, as it were, sort of transferred to Wagner College on Staten Island, it is my belief, although it would have been difficult, that the ownership of this radio station should have transferred automatically de jure to Wagner College, and they should have been supported by Wagner College, and it would have continued to be a Christian radio station reaching out to the 20 million possible hearers in the New York metropolitan, New Jersey metropolitan area. Okay, what does this all have to do with low-power FM radio? Well, as I said, that was about 15, it might have even been 20 years ago, I'm losing track of time. But one day, because of my, I did a lot of communication on the internet relative to this crisis at Uppsala College in South Orange, and the hijacking and sale of this radio station, college radio station, to interests that were antagonistic, antithetical, and it had nothing to do with the radio station, and other than their own personal and proprietary interests, it is no longer a student radio station, it is no longer an educational radio station, it is now a regular radio station, I suppose, and although it may be free form and may be dependent upon donations, it has nothing to do with the original intent nor the reason for the FCC's issuing of a license over 30 years, and the president of the college and the bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church Insistence, that was a student-owned radio station. This radio station is no longer student-owned, is no longer connected to education, is no longer entitled, in my opinion, to that particular FCC-granted frequency. And personally, I think it should be returned to the college, and it should be given back to Wagner College. And the FCC, which is so actively involved in investigating these things, seems to have been hoodwinked, and it's been fooled, and it's been tricked by this whole process. But anyway, in my case, some 15 years later, a person emailed me and said that he heard that I was involved with a voluntary community organization in Richmond, Kentucky. And what happened was I had a home in Richmond, Kentucky. I lived in Richmond, Kentucky. And I was involved with a group of people who were very actively involved in promoting community access to cable and to television, and it was trying to become a community-based organization to assist educational programming, radio programming, cable programming. And the name of it was Richmond Radio Kentucky. It was incorporated in the state of Kentucky as a nonprofit. And this person contacted me and said, did you know, sir, that the FCC, for the first time in 13 years, is going to grant nationwide in every state of the union low-powered FM radio station permits for construction of a radio station? Well, I really didn't understand what that was, and I proceeded to pursue it, much to my surprise. And my involvement with the Richmond Radio nonprofit corporation, the director said, well, you know, let's go after this. We really don't understand what it means, but it seems to have fallen into our laps, and we should do that. So the board of directors of the Richmond Radio Kentucky Nonprofit Corporation said, look at the form, I think it was form 318, and file it, you know, and let's see what happens. Well, we did, and it was one of two applications for a low-powered radio station in Richmond, Kentucky, and subsequently, we were in what I guess is a mixed status. And then the person who was in the other part of the mixed status contacted us, and we decided to separate off our application so that it was no longer antagonistic to their application. And subsequently, much by the grace of God, the FCC graciously according to the rules and regulations and the presentation of the facts, they granted us a construction permit. Now, what that means is that we have a place where we can construct a studio. We have a place where we can raise a tower, and we have the permission of the Federal Communications Commission, which regulates all radio communications and television communications, and now even regulates the Internet as well. We were given permission to proceed as the Kentucky Radio nonprofit to start a radio station. Our call letters were WKRI in Richmond, and we were given the right to erect a tower and establish a studio and broadcast at 100 watts. Well, think of a 100-watt light bulb. So 100-watt light bulb, long, and they're dealing with 50,000-watt stations. And so, but we were given the right to do that, the privilege to do that by the FCC. And that station, from its location, would be able to travel about 3.5, maybe 4 miles. And that would allow WKRI to reach about 20,000 persons in greater Richmond and some of the outlying parts of Lexington, Kentucky. Well, we're struggling with this because we're a small nonprofit. We're trying to raise the funds. We guesstimate that it would cost us about $60,000 to get this off and running in any meaningful way. And we've had our struggles. We have acquired a spot. We do have some equipment. We're gathering equipment from friends and others involved with us, ham radio operators for microphones and for broadcast equipment and for, what do they call that? They have sliders on. It's a box, a mixing box, and some furnishings and maybe a trailer on the site. We have a need for electricity. There's a whole lot of challenges. However, the good news is that the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, has valiantly and bravely fought a battle, not against, but a battle with the Broadcast Association of America. Broadcast Association of America, and the FCC sees no problem with the establishment of up to 2,000 terrestrial low-power FM stations to serve the local community needs of their constituents. And so this wonderful effort of the Obama administration and the wonderful effort of the Federal Communications Commission has granted us, the citizens of the United States, the privilege and the encouragement to move forward in the area of radio station communications of a terrestrial nature, unlike this broadcast, which is the Internet communications nature, and has said to us that we have 18 months to do it. Now, we're working at this. It's already 5 months into it. Contacted local community leaders. We've talked to local people who are actively engaged in community activities in the Richmond, Lexington area. We're trying to enlist support. We probably will try to raise the money from local interests and other interested people who will voluntarily give us the startup money. We really wish there was a federal program to give us the money because, we seem to be funding everything else in the world to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, but I do not know of, and I do not believe the FCC or any ancillary organization has such a program for startup low-power FM radio stations. Now, what does this mean? This is a station dedicated to local development, to local news, to local talent, to local organization. It's a local base. It's meant for the community. It's meant to be a servant of the Richmond, Kentucky people, to be a servant of the local community, in not the whole community. It would be great if it was the whole community, but since the station only reaches 4 miles, it will probably only reach 20,000 people, and at the best, at the very best. And Richmond is much bigger than that, and Lexington is, I think Lexington is 200,000 people, but dominated by 50,000 modifications and iHeartRadio and all that kind of good stuff, and the Broadcast Association of America and all that. And I don't have any animosity to those jobs, and they're doing a good job. I'm proud of them, and I thank them for their efforts. But this effort, which is local-based, local-funded, local efforts of local people and interested others, is made possible by a very, very forward-looking, very, very big and embracing and comprehensive program of the FCC. And the vision of the FCC leadership is to be commended, that the willingness of the FCC community to grant us this particular thing is to be commended, and we are doing our very best to fulfill that. Now, we're in the fifth month, we don't have all our equipment, we don't have our trailer, we don't have our tower, it's an expensive proposition. We do have lined up DJs and people, libraries of material that they can use, and people who are willing to broadcast, and people who are willing to assist us with the management and the entire radio project. However, it's only a light bulb at the top of the tower. In our case, we were granted a 100-foot tower, and on the top, at the 90-foot level, you have to imagine that there will be a 100-watt light bulb, and that light bulb will radiate a light that will reach about 3 or 4 miles. I commend the FCC. I commend the Obama administration. I commend the FCC commissioner. And I'm excited about the possibilities. I think it means a lot for the local society, and I think it means a lot for America. I read somewhere that radio communications is dominated and or owned by 12 major corporations, that's it, including iHeartRadio, which is the only really one I know, maybe Fox Radio, I don't know who they are. I don't care who they are. But there's 12 corporations controlling the airwaves of the radio system of America. And I think the FCC was right, it was courageous, it was visionary, it was forward-looking, it was future-oriented in giving us and 2,000 other applicants all around the country, all of us, the opportunity to enter the publicly owned airwaves with our news and reporting and events and opinions and our outlooks and the like. And so I just wanted to bring you that report on this program called Considerations, especially because there's so much negativity against the Congress. The Congress oversees the FCC, and so the Congress also gets the credit, both the House and the Senate. The FCC gets the credit, and ultimately the Obama administration, which oversees all of this, gets the credit. And I don't want to make this a political statement, but I think, you know, in these days when so much is going wrong and people are seeing so much difficulty and people are being so hyper-critical of our government, we have to remember that people like the FCC commissioner and the commission and the administration, and the Congress and the House and the Senate and the leaders of both organizations and our local senators are doing their best and they're working their hardest to achieve what's good for America. So, okay, I'm finished with my spiel. This is Frederick Henry. We're listening to Considerations, and thank you very much for listening to this broadcast. Looking forward to talking to you again with our next broadcast. Thank you very much for listening.